The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Good everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron here on the Para-X Radio Network. Now, we've got a really interesting show tonight. My guest is Echo Bodine, and she's an internationally acclaimed Ghostbuster, psychic, clairvoyant, and spiritual healer. Her career has spanned at least the last 54 years, and she's been busy teaching people about the importance of their spiritual gift. She teaches classes on psychic development and spiritual healing, is the author of several books, including What Happens When We Die and Echoes of the Soul, and she has appeared on numerous TV and radio shows. But I asked Echo to visit tonight, not about a book, but because the pandemic, the deadly fires, the incredible number of storms, the upcoming election, riots, killing, and all the other stuff that make us feel like we're walking under a black cloud this year, made me wonder about what those on the other side might be thinking about what's going on in our world. And, you know, who better to ask than Echo Bodine? So I just want to mention that, as usual, if anyone in the Para-X chat room has a comment or question for Echo as we go along, please send me a private message. And if you're listening live and want to join us, we're at Para-X, Para-X Radio. Sorry. All right, Echo, my mind is echoing right now. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hi, sweetheart.
And
it's
just in,
so let me just, nice to be here with you. I'm excited.
I'm so glad you are, because, I mean, it's really, this is something that I don't know why it just jumped in my head, but I'm thinking, what are they thinking over there? You know, it's just really strange. And let me say, it's the ParaXRadioNetwork.com. Sorry, just had
okay.
to throw that in. All right. So, you know, I mean, we are in chaos. I mean, there's way more negative energy floating around than positive. And although nobody really is in any great hurry to cross over, I bet some of the souls, like I said, who already have crossed over might be thankful in a sense that they don't have to live through all this. But so that, you know, kind of went into my head. And some people once said, and I don't know if this is true or not, this is my major question today. Some people say that once a soul leaves the body, they're done with the human experience and they don't give much thought to the living. Now, I would think that most people would hope that's not the case. Is it?
Yeah, that isn't the case, honey. It's just that they, well, okay, you know what? We can't really make a blanket statement about the deceased and how they're handling things, because there's some of the folks that die, they are so earthbound, so afraid to move on to the other side. They just want to stay here. They think they're safe if they're here with their family somewhere. A lot of souls, when they come out of the body, there's a sense of confusion at first. Because for some of them, they're like, okay, have I woken up in a dream? Am I dreaming this? And I remember when David Carradine died, and he was a client of my brother's. My brother's a psychic. And so Michael was just saying, you know, I hope David's doing okay, and I looked in, and honey, what I saw was that for 3 days, his body was in a closet, and for 3 days, his soul remained there because he thought he was having a bad dream. Mm. And it very interesting to see that, because I guess I just expected he'd come out of his body and go on to the other side right away, but he did not. After the third day, I saw an image of guides who were talking to him, and they had been talking to him over that three-day period, but he kept thinking he was having a bad dream. And finally, it was on the fourth day that it was almost like you could see him just wake up and go, okay, what? And then when the guides explained to him what happened, he finally realized, oh, this is for real. And so it was at that point. And then what I saw was, I saw him go and visit his loved ones here on the other side. I saw him saying, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. That's what he was saying. He didn't say much other than that. And he could see his loved ones and their confusion, their frustration, and their sadness. And at a certain point, it felt like he just couldn't handle their sadness anymore. And that's when he went on to the other side. Mm. Then you take other people, honey, and they just go. They just go, you know, they come out of their body. A lot of souls actually come out of their body before they even died. And I remember with my dad, Marla, this was interesting because we had been with my dad all day, and my brother, my sister, and I, we all said, you know, we're hungry. You think it is? So we went and asked the nurse, think it's okay if we go downstairs? Yes, you can go. You know, there's plenty of time. Okay, so what was it? So we went downstairs. We had dinner. We came back up. And Marla, when I walked in that room, I immediately felt something was missing. And so I looked at all the machines. I was trying to figure out, okay, what did they take out of here? Something is missing in here. And I looked at my sister and I said, can you feel like something's missing? And she said, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out myself. Okay, so I opened up psychically, and there was my dad up about 10 feet up with my grandma. And I said, whoa, Dad. he said, I'm not waiting around. I've got a strong heart. It'll die tomorrow. And poof, he was gone. He and my grandma just went right up to the light.
Wow.
So, honey, it's so different with everybody. And yeah. So there is no one way that we can say, well, this is what they feel. But what I did tonight was on my way home, I just said to the guides, okay, you guys, what are they thinking? And they said that some of our family members have detached enough so that when others on the other side tell them, oh my gosh, you know what's happening now? They're like, well, that's too bad. But it's like they've taken their emotion out of it because they're trying to be in a new place. You know, it's like when we move from one neighborhood to the next, we have to go to that new neighborhood and put our energy there instead of continually focusing on the old neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of them, I would say half of them, let's say, have detached enough from Earth where they can get on with their own lives and their own healing and, you know, reunite with their own loved ones on that side. And then there's the other half of our loved ones on the other side who are worried about us, and they check in, especially, well, I don't want to say especially this year, although this year has been ridiculously rough. Mm-hmm. But our loved ones on the other side, you know, I do see some of them almost like, the image that came to me was like they don't even have fingernails, but it's like they're chewing their fingernails. They're worried about, oh my God, how are they going to deal with that? Oh my God, now there's another thing. How are they going to deal with that? And so they're, some of them are very worried about their loved ones here. And other ones, you know, Marla, it's interesting because I always see them like a room with a big glass window, and they can sit. You know, honey, when we see on TV when it's a doctor's show and the doctor's doing the operation, and then up in the room there's all these other doctors observing the surgery. Okay, well, that's image that I get a lot, is that they are observing. They're just observing and wondering how we are handling certain situations. But I have to also say that the ones that I've seen this year, they look very relieved that they don't have to be here and make the decisions that a lot of us have to make. And that's really what it seems like, is the decisions that we've had to make this year, the you know, our beliefs have really been challenged, and they watch us about that. Again, it's about, well, how are they going to handle that? How are they going to, are they going to be okay? Is so the other thing is, people, you know, people say to me, well, how do I know which one of my, how my relatives, which group do they belong to? And I think people, if they're listening intuitively or just feeling it, like if they say to themselves, if they say mom's name, and does it feel like mom is close or does it feel like mom is detached? And people can actually get a sense in their body if their loved one is someone who's still worried about them or someone who is more detached. And it doesn't mean that these people don't love us, but it means that they have realized that they need to focus on themselves. It's like the living have to focus on the living and the deceased have to focus on the deceased.
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes sense.
Everybody's, you know, honey, they're all just a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think people can tune into, is their dad there? Is their mom there? Is their grandpa or grandma there? Is their brother or sister? You know, their loved one, their husbands, their wives. They can get a sense. But, you know, okay, here's another example, though, is that, honey, I see people that say, you know, my husband died and I don't feel him around at all. Yet I can get a psychic vision of the husband right there with her in the house. But it's like she has shut herself down because of her grief. And so really, she can't feel anything other than the grief. And the husband is right there in the house with her, or the wife is right there in the house. That's the bummer with grief. It's so thick and heavy. And so it is hard when we're in that grief to feel our loved ones, our deceased loved ones.
And that must be frustrating for them, because maybe they want to, you know, help and make them feel. Yeah. See, it's a real hand tying thing. And what do you do? You know, I've got a quick question before it goes away on the chat room. She wants to know, do you feel that a person with dementia will detach their soul but stay physically here?
Yes. People with dementia, you know, it often looks like half of the soul is still there in the body, and another half of the soul has split off and is on the other side, especially if there are deceased loved ones on the other side. I have seen that, where the soul, half of the soul is living on the other side with the deceased loved ones, and the other half of the soul is here. And, you know, the reason why some of them, often a lot of them, stick around is to help the family come together, to help the family heal together. Because I've seen many situations where maybe the brothers haven't spoken to each other in 20 years. Well, now all of a sudden they have to come together and have several conversations about what to do with mom's because she's got dementia, what to do with her. And then a healing takes place between the two brothers or whoever the, you know, the, come on, Echo, just get the word here. Wherever there's a problem in the family, honey, a soul will stick around. A portion of the soul will stick around just to help something in that family system to heal.
Mm-hmm.
When that healing takes place, that's often when the soul will say, "Okay, I'm done now," and then they'll go on to the other side, and then it'll become a whole soul again. But you know what, honey? Our souls have so much energy. They are so full of energy that that's why they can split into two, even three separate kind of beings, although they're all the same. Do you know what I mean? That they can... Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, and you know, the thing, and that's what I was going to ask you, because, you know, we all hear that when somebody passes, especially somebody that had a very difficult, long illness and stuff, you're always saying, oh, now they're well, they're healed, they're, you know, you whatever. But if they kind of split, then they maybe aren't completely healed. And suppose they split into three pieces, all right, three different souls. All three would have to go back there before they could continue their healing. And that could take a very long time, right?
Yes. You know, sweetheart, you're going in and out so much. I don't know. I want to answer that question, but I'm not quite sure what you just said, because it's like that.
Okay. I was hearing that before also.
Okay.
But I was... just thinking that if the souls are in two or three pieces, it would take a very long time for them to sometimes here to make everybody happy here and go back. So sometimes that soul is not healed just because they cross over, because they've left some of it behind.
Yeah, that's right, honey. Yeah, people think, and this is a misconception, people think that when we die, we're at peace. You know, we're in nirvana, everything's wonderful. That's not reality. When we die, our soul, if it had issues before, then it's still going to have issues. It's still going to go through changes. Our souls go through a grieving process themselves when they die. And often, very often, 6 months before our death, our soul will begin to grieve. And we start reminiscing a lot. We're looking at life from a different perspective. That's subconscious. Our conscious mind doesn't know why, you know, we suddenly want to call all of our friends from high school, or why we want to go drive by the homes that we grew up in or the schools that we went to school. We aren't conscious. Why? I don't know. I just feel like driving by my childhood home. Okay. The soul knows that the end is coming. And so the body starts to do things. Now, this is, again, I'm thinking, oh my God, Echo, you just freaked a whole bunch of people out. People that just their high school. No, it's not the case with everything. But the soul, we go through grief just like the living go through grief when we die. And again, I mean, Marla, if you think about it, you know, honey, we've spent 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years creating this life for ourselves, and now we're going to be done with it. Well, doesn't it make sense that the soul would grieve, you know, instead of, oh, the soul is dead. I mean, the body is dead. The soul is living on. Soul's happy as a clam. No, the soul through its own grieving process. But the nice thing about it is that our soul can still come here and see our loved ones. Mm-hmm. So that can bring comfort for them. the people that are living, because we don't get to see them. We're the ones that grieve because of that physical body is gone. Mm-hmm. But that's nice that, you know, when we do pass, we can come and visit our family members. We can come and see them. And it's nice. You know, it's nice for the soul. It's like, I get to go see my little sister or my son or my daughter or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they go back and they, you know, start creating their new life on the other side.
And you see, here's the thing, too, that we have people that are always saying, you know, ghost hunters and stuff, that I crossed those souls over and they can't come back because they needed to go and blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of laugh and think, well, maybe they went to humor you, but they can come back. Am I wrong? I mean,
no, you're not wrong at all, honey. You're not wrong
so
at all.
They're so sure that they've done a really good job. Now, I know there are souls that are lost and ask for help to cross over, and that's fine. But I was on an investigation one time with a medium, psychic, whatever, who was picking on a spirit and saying, you have to go. You can't stay here. You need to leave. And he just put on this big show about sending that poor spirit over. And I guess the spirit did leave, and he felt like he did such a great job because that soul didn't have to be here. You know, it needed to go. And I'm just thinking, you're an ass. You know, I really did. And I didn't want to say anything because there was a whole group of people there. And it wasn't my business to make him look stupid. But, you know.
I know, honey.
People do
you
that.
Know what? You know what, honey? We have free will in death, just as we do in life. And so, you know, I've done many, many, many ghost busting jobs. And, you know, I've met souls who they don't want to go over. They're afraid. But what we do is we just talk to them and say, okay, what's the deal? What are you afraid of? And you know what they say, Marla? The number one reason that we hear is they are afraid they're going to get sent to hell because of some bad things that they did in their life.
Yep.
And so that's why they stay stuck in somebody's attic or in some tanning parlor or treatment center or wherever. They're just afraid to go on. So, you know what, honey? I think of it more like ghost counseling than ghost busting because we have to talk to the ghost and find out, what's the reason? Why are you here? And, you know, there's what I have found is that there's, so I'm going to run through these. All right. The number one reason why a soul chooses to be earthbound is they're afraid they're going to get sent to hell. Okay. Mm-hmm. The second most common reason we've heard from people, souls, is that they don't want to go to heaven because this one lady just came to mind. She didn't want to go to heaven because her boyfriend killed her and then committed suicide. And so she figured that he's probably in heaven. And so she doesn't want to go there because she doesn't want to see him because she's afraid of him. Oh, God. Okay, so what do we say? We say to her, oh, my goodness, heaven's a really big place. And the chances of you running into him, I said to her, honey, all you have to do is tell the greeters, because there's greeters at the entrance, just tell the greeters you don't want to see him. And I said, you do not have to see him, but it's really important that you not be an earthbound spirit and you go on to the other side. You know, and Marla, that can take an hour and a half to convince this soul that this guy, he can't kill her anymore, and he can't really hurt her anymore, but she can ask for protection when she gets there. And so then the soul ponders it, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. The next reason is unfinished business, which we hear about a lot with the media. That's why ghosts are ghosts, because they have unfinished business. Well, yes, some of them do have unfinished business. I was at St. Paul City Hall in the Twin Cities, And they gave us permission. It was for a Halloween show, and it was a news station. And so they gave us the City Hall gave us permission as long as we didn't get rid of the ghosts, because they were kind of a tourist attraction. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I was walking around just looking to see what was there, Marlon, there was this woman, spirit, in a wedding dress, and she's walking back and forth and back and forth, pacing and pacing and pacing. So I said to her, excuse me, hello, who are you? And she looked at me, but no, she was so focused, she just kept walking back and forth. So I said to the guard, I said, wow, there's a lady here in a wedding dress, and I said, she's just pacing. And he said, oh, yeah, a lot of people have seen her. And he said that that she was on her way to City Hall to get married, and she was killed in a car accident. So her soul went to City Hall, and she's waiting for her fiancé to come so they can get married. So I said, whoa, that's quite a story. So I went over to her again, and I just said, hello, you know, hello. And nope, didn't want to talk. She was so focused on it. And so I said to the guard, how long has she been here? And he said, oh, quite a while. Oh, my God, talk about unfinished business. So her soul isn't even out there looking for her fiancé. She's just waiting for him to show up at City Hall.
Mm.
Okay. Another reason that souls choose to remain earthbound is, and I have to say that this one is not as common as the media makes it sound. But I did meet a young man, his name was Kenneth, and he did not know he was dead. And you know, Merle, how I knew that was, okay, I've never seen a ghost appear, well, yeah, there was this other lady too, appear like they did when they died. Okay. And they always, you know, they just appear in nice clothing. I mean, nothing. I've seen many, many ghosts in blue jeans and a T-shirt. Okay. But this lady, hold on. My brain just went blank again. Kenneth. Okay. So the people of the house called me because this spirit was jumping up and down on the lady's bed every night. And when she would come home from work, her clothes would be pulled out of the closet, and everything on her dresser would be knocked on the floor.
Yeah.
So, okay, so this guy, this spirit, comes into the room, and he looked quite different than the spirits I had seen before. This guy had on a military uniform and a big hole blown right through the middle of him. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that, honey. And it was kind of like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I said to him, what's your name? And he said, Kenneth. Okay. I said, Kenneth, what are you doing here? And he said, well, and he was very angry. And he said, is it okay if I swear on this network?
Yeah.
Okay, so he says to me, I came home from Vietnam and this bitch is living in my house. And he said, I'm just trying to get her out of here. Whoa! And I thought, okay, all right, wait. Now this is a new one. And so I said to my guide, because my guide was there, and I said, oh my God, what do I do? And he said, you're going to have to tell him that he's deceased. So I thought, oh God, why do I have to do this? Oh, God, okay. So so I told him, I said, Kenneth, you died in Vietnam. And he loomed at me and said, no, I didn't. And I said, look down at yourself. And he looked down, and he saw himself. And he got really angry, and he just yelled at me, no, I'm not dead. I just want this B-I-T-C-H, out of my house. And I said, whoa, Kenneth. And he left the building. So we just sat, waited for him to come back, and he came back. And I had to say it to him again because he acted like he didn't know who I was or why I was there. And so, yeah, said it again. He got really angry again. This went on for literally, girl, I was there for 4 hours that night. Wow. Just trying to get this one soul to move on to the other side. And finally, he started to cry. Now, when a soul cries, they don't cry real tears, but they cry an energy. An energy literally comes out of them. And so he calmed down, and he said to me, I don't want to be dead. And I said, well, I said, what year do you think this is? Well, Marla, this was about 1992. Okay. Yeah. He said to me, it's 1968. And I said, no, Kenneth, this is 1992. And he said, it can't be. How can it be 1990? No, it can't be. And then he got all upset again. And then finally he said, okay, all right, talk to me. What should I do? And so I just said, okay, can you see that light? And he said, yes, I always see that light. And then I said, well, honey, why don't you go to that light and start a brand new life? I said, I bet your family's just waiting for you to come over. And you know what? It was sad because he was very, very sad that he was dead. So he was in denial for how many years? That's almost like 30 years.
Yeah.
And he just believed that this was his house. And this woman was living in his house. Mm. And that's why he was doing all that stuff to try to get her out of there. And so Kenneth moved on.
Well, thank God he did. We're going to take a quick break. And there's some really good questions coming in from the chat room when we come back. So everybody, you know, take a breather and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Explore the second edition of the Witch's Oracle Deck through 45 innovative cards and enhanced guidebook that peers into the world of the witch. The deck's stunning artwork has a new look and includes 7 brand new inspirational cards. Each card now includes a suggested crystal or gemstone to enhance your reading, as well as a magical incantation that provides energy, reinforces the card's meaning, and helps the desired message to be sent out into the universe. The easy-to-navigate guide also has a new look and offers straightforward, gentle guidance that takes readers through both good times and bad. And now includes a chapter on crystal and gemstone divination by the amazing Nicholas Pearson. The Witch's Oracle. It is a perfect divination deck for witches as well as non-pagans, and is designed to suit both seasoned readers and beginners alike. Find out more about the Witch's Oracle deck at www.marlabrooks.com, and you can purchase the deck from schifferbooks.com, amazon.com, or order a copy from your favorite bookseller.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, perhaps It Takes Two to Tango. Well, now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And yes, we are back. My guest is Echo Bodine. We're talking about the other side and what they may be thinking about 2020 down on the earth plane here. and a few other things too. And we've got, like I said before the break, we've got some really interesting questions coming from the chat room, but I have one really quick one before that. Okay. I'll be selfish. It's my show.
Sure.
But I know that there are times when those who pass need to send messages to someone here on the earth plane. And when the world is in a big mess like it is, do you get bombarded sometimes from spirit because they all want to be heard and need to pass along messages to a loved one or somebody they care about?
You know, honey, I'm lucky because I keep myself shut down most of the time. I can't imagine. You know, my brother, he just stays open psychically all the time. And he, oh my God, he tells me all the time, sis, oh my God, they won't stop. And I said, I always say to him, honey, why don't you just shut your third eye down? No. He says, I don't want to do that. So, I mean, he just gets bombarded. And so that's why I do just the opposite. I try really hard not to. But, you know, I look at people like Thomas John or Susan Giesman or Suzanne, I mean, and, I can't even remember names anymore, honey. You know, all the good mediums out there.
Yeah,
I just think, how do you guys do it? I don't know.
Yeah, that would be
because
crazy.
Because right now a lot of our loved ones would want to be comforting us, you know, being as helpful as be. So...
But also, you know, as for like sending messages, you know, that they want to let us know because maybe they have a little perception of what's to come and they're wanting to warn us and stuff. But is there a certain amount of information that they're allowed to tell us? I mean, you know, is there like a gag order for certain things that they just can't tell us, even if they'd like to?
Marilyn, that's a great question. That's a great question. What is the answer, Echo? I think you're right about the gag order. I think a lot of them do not know the future. I really do. I think because, I mean, both my parents are deceased. I've asked them both, oh, what do you think about all this? And it's just, I get nothing. I get nothing from both of them. Yet, I can talk to both of them. They'll talk to me during the day about certain things. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the future, when it comes to the election, when it comes to this ridiculous year we're living, the pandemic, no, they haven't said anything about it.
Yeah, I kind of get the impression that, you know, whoever's in charge up there just says, well, this is your test, and these are the lessons you need to learn when you're down on Earth and alive, and we can't help you solve that. You have to solve it yourself, and that's going to take you into your next life, maybe, or, you know, repeat the mistake, you know, the whole thing. So, okay, that was my thought. All right, I better get to somebody else's questions because I have more. all right, so Cam wants to know, how or why is it that some people know that they're going to die and some don't? Is it kind of a random thing?
You know what I have to say about that is that consciously, a lot of us, I would say the majority of us, do not know we're going to die consciously, while subconsciously, the soul...
The soul has a mind of its own, kind of?
Exactly. Yeah, honey. It's our subconscious mind is the mind of the soul. And so, I think it has to do with self-awareness. How much do we know ourselves? Are we paying attention to ourselves? And I think that people that are paying attention to themselves know, you know. I mean, Marla, are your parents still alive?
No.
Okay. Honey, did they know? How was it for them?
All right. My dad, it was a sudden heart attack. He did not know. My mother talked to me before you know, I mean, I was an adult then. We weren't living together, I think. But she called me one day and she said, you know, she said, I just had a dream. And she was pretty psychically inclined. She said, I just had a dream last night. And when I woke up, it scared the hell out of me because I dreamt that I was bleeding from my chest and I didn't make it from some kind of surgery. And, you know, several months go down the line and she goes into the hospital for a routine procedure. They put the air thing in her breathing device in her tracheotomy. And she never came out of it because when they tried to remove the breathing tubes, it started to bleed. It started to bleed and that's what killed her. So she knew, but, you know, at that time she wasn't ill or feeling ill or whatever. But that dream was precognitive, obviously, because it went just what she said. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some people do, and then suddenly some people don't. Like, you know, somebody has a sudden heart attack and dies. They feel good 1 minute, and they're gone the next. I mean, in a way, that's kind of a blessing. But,
I agree.
You know, by the same token, you know, yeah. So maybe it's random. Maybe some people, just as you said, know themselves better. You know, because mom used to see spirits all the time and whatever. I mean, it was, you know, in our family, that was normal. So it wasn't a big deal. But I don't think on my dad's side or at least my dad never spoke of that kind of thing. So he had a big surprise. And so did the rest of us because we didn't see it coming. All right. Let me give you the next question, because this is also a good question. Do people remember their mortal life when they die? Because we sure don't remember where we came from.
Yes, we definitely remember our life. Oh, yes, yeah. We don't remember where we came from because it's easier for us. That, you know, it's kind of like when the soul comes into a brand new baby body. That first year, that soul has a lot of recall of the other side. The soul even goes over to the other side a lot. You know, when the babies are sleeping so much, the soul is out of the body and talking to its guides, going to the other side, coming back. So we don't remember consciously because it just messes with our brain. And so that's why we're cut off from that information. But we definitely, when we go over, yes, we have a lot of information. We have all, we totally remember our lives. Yeah.
Well, they say, too, that if we come back several times, I mean, the DNA is the same. The body, the parents, of the whole life plan is different, but we're kind of still, like, the soul has one DNA that we keep forever, in a sense.
Yeah, our soul is, it's the same. I mean, the whole point of all these different lifetimes is just to continue to grow the soul. Continues to grow and learn amazing things. And that's the thing about this year. You know, I say to my students all the time, holy crackers, we signed up for this. Yeah. And, you know, you wonder why. And then the guides will say, well, because you're learning so much about yourselves. You're learning about your loved ones, things that you never knew before. This is a whole different ball game for all of you. And you never had to go through a pandemic before. So how are you handling it? We never had to, I mean, look at all the hurricanes, honey, that are happening. It's just, yikes, it's just constant. And this is how we're growing, believe it or not. And a lot of people aren't growing right now. They've locked themselves in their houses and they're afraid to come out. And it's like, okay, so that's how they're choosing to do this. But it's opportunities. That's how they talk about it. We've got these great opportunities for us to grow and learn about ourselves and our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even this whole political, you know, we're learning about each other.
Oh, yeah. So. And that's not always good in this case. Do you have kind of an inkling that, or maybe you've been told, or maybe, you know, it's come through. Have you had an inkling that all of this that's going on in 2020 here on the earth plane is a sign of divine intervention for some reason?
It does feel like that to me, honey. I don't know if I've had a spirit. No, I have heard that the universe is trying to raise us up right now by looking for the good in all of this rather than looking for the bad. It's like it's the universe is really trying to inspire us with hope, trying to what they say is they always say to me, we're trying to raise you up. We're trying to raise you all up so that you can see your strengths, see that, you know, because somebody just said to me the other day, well, I can't keep going like this. She says she can't handle politics. She can't handle the pandemic. It's like, but you are handling it. No, I'm not. I can't handle it anymore. She said she just wants to die. Okay. All right. So you're not really handling it, I guess. Gosh, what do you say? It's like, other than I just kept saying to her, but you are handling it. You've been handling it since March when we first found out about all of this, yeah. You know, and she said, wow, I never thought about the fact that I'm actually handling it. I keep telling myself I'm not handling it. So I said, okay, well, this is your opportunity to shift the way you're thinking. And so she said she would work on it. But that's what I see for a lot of people this year.
There is a lesson here. And as you said, we all signed up for it. So in one great group, each one is getting a lesson in a different way. You know, there's so many things going on. Can you handle the COVID thing? Can you handle the politics? Can you handle the storms and the fires? I mean, everybody's getting their own kind of thing to deal with. But, yeah, it's still there. We did it. Sorry. We did it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Here's another question from the chat room. When we die, do we instantly gain access to our soul's Akashic records? Is there a waiting period after our soul grieves that we can access our soul information?
Yes, there is a grieving period. It depends, and that depends also because if the soul started grieving while it was still in its own body, then when it finally dies and it leaves the body and it goes on to the other side. Yes, you can read your Akashic records, but the guides, your guides, the elders, there's a group on the other side. They're like, they've been through all these different life experiences. They're called the elders. The elders will tell you that you need to rest for a while. That you may have had a really difficult death. You may have had an instant death. And so you need to just chill for a while. And they'll tell you that, you know, we will let you know when you're ready to go and see your records. And then there's other souls that they go over. They're real clear about everything. And I think those are the really old souls. They're clear. They're ready to see their records. So, again, it's different with everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we kind of touched on this before about being able to give information out from the other side. But do spirits generally know when their loved ones are on their way? Maybe they're trying to contact them and warn them against doing something that would stop that. But do those on the other side know that we're coming and when?
Yeah, they know, honey. Yeah, they know. They know. Okay. As a matter of fact, it was really cool. One time when I did this session, I saw the tunnel, you know, the tunnel we all hear about. And it was really sweet because it was full of souls from the other side. Some of them had flowers. Some of them had balloons. And they were waiting for their deceased loved ones to come into the tunnel, and then they were going to take them on to the other side. And then I've seen, like, when my dad died that day, my grandma, and I was really surprised about this because my dad and my grandma did not get along. He was adopted. They did not get along. And so before any of us even thought about going down for dinner that night in the hospital, grandma came into the room, and I was shocked to see her. And I even said, whoa, grandma? And she said, yes, I'm here to take him home. And I thought, well, in my head, I just thought, well, the nurse said that dad's not going to die for a while. But grandma seemed to know something. She wasn't coming right out and saying it's going to be today. But it was very weird for me to see her there. And, I mean, and dad kept talking about his friend in a uniform standing over by the window, looking out the window. And he kept saying, oh, there's my friend. There's my friend. Can you see my friend? And we just said, yeah, Dad, we can see him. But he didn't say anything about Grandma. And then, like I said, when we came back, there they were, moving up to the other side. So, yeah, they do know. They do know when we are coming over. Now, you know, one of the situations that is different is souls that commit suicide, people that commit suicide, mm-hmm. because there's over there, what I've seen is a hospital, and the second floor of the hospital is all for suicide souls. And what they showed me is that there's a caregiver for each person that comes over from suicide. And I saw this picture of all these souls laying in these beds. And what they said was that these were souls who had taken their own lives through a lot of drugs, and the soul is affected by the drugs. Mm-hmm. And so somebody carries their soul over to the other side. They lay them in these beds. And then when the soul wakes up, because I remember a woman that I know, when she committed suicide, I was very curious to see how she was. And what was interesting is when her soul came out of her body, she was in her kitchen, and she just waited for her husband to come home. And I thought, what? You're hanging out in your kitchen? And you know what? She said to me, he's going to be home anytime now for dinner. He's bringing dinner home. And even when I went to her funeral, she was not there. And I thought, oh, maybe she's already gone on to the other side. And so I checked psychically, and I asked my guide, do you know where she is? And she said she's still in her kitchen waiting for her family to come home. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what? And it took about 6 months before when I would check in on her, when I saw that she had moved on to the other side. Wow. So not all of our loved ones know if we're going to do suicide. Mm-hmm. But there will always be somebody there, a guide, that will help that soul onto the other side. Mm-hmm. Except in her case, when they asked her, when the guide said, well, come on, you know, we're going to take you over, she was like, no, I have to make dinner for my family. And she went in the other room, and she had just taken a whole bottle of pills and wrote a note to her family about she was sorry she was doing this, but she felt like a burden. Mm-hmm. And then she takes these pills, and she wakes up, and she goes in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So, see, sometimes it's not as clear as we think it's going to be.
Yeah.
A soul has the mind. What, honey?
I said it befuddles the soul's mind as well. You're subconscious, so they don't
That's
know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. We've just got a couple of minutes, so I just have one more question, and then I want you to tell people where they can find you and stuff, but has the curriculum of your spiritual healing classes changed because of all the chaos that's going on in this world now?
That's a good question. You know, we have had, I just put a notice out last night on Facebook that I have a healing program that if people are interested, they just need to email me bodine.echo@gmail.com if they have a healing need. And then what I do, we have a coordinator, she assigns a healer that will send absentee healing to those people, to that person, every day for 2 weeks. And Marla, I put it out last night, and we have been bombarded today. But that's okay. We expected it. And there's 76 healers on board with this. And so, you know, we can assign healers pretty quick, and they start sending healing right away to people. So if there's people out there right now listening that are in need of healing, and it can be anything from anxiety to depression to COVID, whatever, we do it all. And it's a pretty cool program, and it's free. So they can go on my Facebook page, Echo Lee Bodine, and learn more about it, because I just posted it last night.
Oh, thank you for doing that. So many people are going to really, really need it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, this will resolve sooner than later. It's just everything happens at once, it seems, this time around. Usually it goes in different stages, but all of a sudden one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, and it's just kind of mind-boggling. So I want to thank you for coming in and straightening some people out with some information, and especially the healing program that's so, so vitally important. And I've got like six requests in the chat room for you to come back soon. So we'll talk about that.
Okay. Stephanie, thank you so much for having me on tonight. It was really nice to connect with you again.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. One more time, give everybody the website where they can find you.
Well, okay, honey, if they have a healing need, they can send it to bodine.echo@gmail.com.
Okay, and your website?
The website is just really simple, echobodine.com. And on my Facebook page, they want to go to the Echo Lee Bodine page, and the information is on there about the Healing Pen Pal program. That's what we call it, the Healing Pen Pals.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening in as well. And we're going to take flight right now. So until next time, everybody, blessed be, and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.